chapter 21. I don't know how you are about watching the news on TV. I try to watch the weather so I can sort of tell what they're saying they think is going to happen for the day. The weatherman is the only person I know and be wrong all the time and still get paid. But anyway, I try to watch the weather so I can sort of schedule what I want to try to get done on a daily basis. And this morning, I try to avoid the news. A lot of people say, well, the news discourages me. Well, it makes me mad. I hate to see silly, childish people all the time, you know. So it sort of gets on my nerve. But they was telling this morning, Jane had told me, she said, did you hear that storm this morning, the wind get up like it did? And I said, no, baby, I was at the store all day yesterday. I was sort of dead to the world. But she said the wind was terrible. Well, we turned the news on, and they say, well, we've had an earthquake in Decatur, Tennessee, 4.4 magnitude. And if you thought you heard the wind blowing this morning, that's what it was aftershock. And see, when I hear things, so many times, the things that I hear, first thing that comes to my mind is what God's Word said. And I want us to take a few minutes tonight to look at part of God's promise to us. Because see, I'm living on God's promises. We've got something to hold on to when we look to our Lord and our Savior and the promises that He made us. There's something we can depend on. We can't depend on anything in this old world as far as what man says, because what man says today may be changed tomorrow. But God's going to be the same forever. He's not going to change. He's going to stay the same. And here in the book of Luke, the disciples, they were talking to Jesus. Luke 21, begin with verse 5, and he said, as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. And we listen to the news and stuff, and every time you turn around, there's somebody else that's popped a head up and stuff, wanting to cause some kind of trouble, wanting to cause some kind of conflict, wanting to cause some kind of war. And Jesus said, look out. He said, these things are going to be a-coming. They're going to be a-coming. They're going to get worse. They're going to get worse and worse and worse. Said, then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquake shall be in divers places. Now Jesus said, great earthquake shall be in divers places. Now, they may not look at a 4.4 as being a great earthquake, but now listen, when I was coming along as a little boy, if you said something about an earthquake, first thing come to your mind was California, because we don't have them around here. Of course, now they say we do. They say we have a 2 magnitude and stuff. I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I ain't felt it. So now, you know, if you want to talk to me about an earthquake and stuff, I want to see some results on if you're going to convince me of that. But now this morning and stuff, you know, Jane talking about that wind was wide open, but it wasn't that. Jesus said there are going to be great earthquakes in divers places or different places, and you hear it on the news all the time, earthquake here, earthquake there, earthquake at this place. So here we are, he said, great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, we see that, pestilences, fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and to the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Now here the Lord was talking to the disciples. He was talking to the disciples. But now there's going to be some things that's going to come about later on that may affect us. So now we look in the scripture here, he said, before these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and to the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Listen to this now. Settle it therefore in your hearts. He said, get your mind ready for this right here. He said, not to meditate before what you shall answer. He said, don't give it no thought. Don't do it. He said, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom. Now, we've been talking about wisdom, and we're still discussing wisdom in the Scripture here. And he says here, he said, I will give you a mouth and wisdom. Church, we don't need an earthly wisdom. We don't need man's wisdom. We need God's wisdom in everything that we do, everything that goes on. We need God's hand in our lives, guiding our thoughts, guiding what we do and which way we go. We should humble ourselves before Him under His mighty hand and seek Him and seek His will for our life. Seek God's wisdom. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Listen, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now we're going to look at a little bit of that a little bit later on. But it said, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now you know in this old world we're living in today, you can talk about Buddha. You can talk about all these other things and stuff. Anything and everything you want to talk about according to religion, you can talk about it and get by with it. And ain't nobody going to bother you. Muslims, whatever. It doesn't matter. But now you start talking about being a Christian, and you start naming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you confess Him before men, and you say, this is the Son of the living God. This is the one who came into this world, who was born of a virgin. He died on an old rugged cross. He came for no other reason but to preach the gospel. Tell people about the Heavenly Father and go to an old rugged cross and be nailed on that old rugged cross and shed His precious and holy blood. As I say, it's one of my favorite scriptures. When John saw Him coming to the river, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It didn't say your sin alone, but it said the sin of the world. And what the world doesn't understand simply is this right here, that God has already forgiven for their sins through His Son, Jesus Christ, and man refuses to accept that. And the Bible says here, Jesus speaking, He said, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. He said, in your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out of it, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. And this is going back to the book of Daniel. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. They shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now look at this right here. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Listen to what, I believe the scripture is referring here to the government. He said, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after the things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So we're not talking about the disciples here. We're talking about a time that we're living in now. Because the Bible says here in the next verse, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And this is where I get to right here, and I love it. It said, and when these things begin to come past, then he said, look up. Look up. Look up. He said, for you up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now we've got these little things that are happening around us, and if we want to be so isolated that we don't pay any attention to them, then that's our fault. That's our own fault. But now Jesus has left us a word of what to look for when He's coming back. And I believe He's near the time to coming back, church. I believe He's near the time to coming back. The devil is raging on every side. He's doing everything he can to get the church away from the Lord. That is truly what he wants to do. But the Bible says for us, it's looking for him to lift our heads up. Lift them up. Not be discouraged. Not be looking at the floor. But be looking up. Be looking up. Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy, where we were at. Still looking at wisdom. 2 Timothy in chapter 3, we'd gotten to this point, and we're looking here as Paul writing to Timothy. He said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And he begins to describe how man will be here. So he's showing us the wisdom of man here in 2 Timothy in chapter 6. In the last days, he said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. If you look around you today, you're going to see pretty clearly how self-centered this old world is. They're in love with their self. Their hearts are far removed from God. What they're looking at is only themselves. And what they can get for themselves, and that's about the end of the conversation when it comes to those things. Have no thoughts of nobody else. But before we go any further reading this, because I want us to look at this right here, because here, Paul talking to Timothy, he's talking about an age of man and how man is away from God. But I want to talk to you about how that we, as God's children, can act before we get too far into this. Let's go back to the book of Romans in chapter 1. Begin with verse 16. And I want to read you some scripture right here from 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Verse 5 says this. He said that man would have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And I want you to listen to the scripture as Paul begins to write to the church at Rome as to what's going on. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And here Paul said that the power of God, said that the power of God was the gospel of Christ. And here in Timothy, he said they would have a form of godliness in the last days, but deny the power thereof. Said, from such turn away. So let's look at what God's Word says about man here in the Scriptures. Wait just 1 minute. I think I may have got too far ahead of myself. That wouldn't be too hard for me. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. I've got my notes sort of sloppy-fied. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Let's see what the scripture says here. Begin with verse 16. He said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So now we're trying to look here as we as Christians in what we can get into. Now, you turn a little child loose in the house and you don't oversee it and watch it, you can't number the amount of things that they can get into. Because they can be in something before you know it. And that's what we are. We're just like little children. We think about what Solomon prayed when he prayed to God. He said, God, he said, I don't know how to go out or to come in. That's what he said in the book of Kings when he was praying for wisdom from God. He said, I don't know how to go out or come in. So the Bible says here in Paul writing to the church of Galatia, he said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Now listen to what the Bible is saying here. We're talking once again now to the Christians. Man, first of all, is born a natural birth. That is a fleshly birth, and it is a sinful birth. For the psalmist David said, "For in sin did my mother conceive me." He said, when I was conceived in the womb, I was a sinner. There is a spiritual birth that has nothing to do with man. That is of God. And you have these two births living in one person. So you're at war and you're struggling with these things in your life. He said, "The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now listen to what the Bible says. Talking to the church, he said, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations or jealousies, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, to be led of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust." Now I want you to listen to that verse right there. He said, "And they that are Christ, belong to the Lord, they're seeking to be led by the Spirit." The Bible says, "have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust." Now, Paul had just listed this long listing of things that you're able to do according to this old flesh. See, this old flesh is still full of sin and wickedness. And it raises its head up all the time. Now, I can't speak for you, but I know for myself it gives me trouble all the time. All the time. I don't want it, but it's there. It's there. It's there. I've heard people say, "Well, when I go home to be with the Lord, I'm going to leave the devil behind." I'm glad of that too, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I'm going to leave this old flesh behind. Because it troubles me more than Satan, because this old flesh is with me all the time, and the devil is not. He comes and goes. But this old flesh and the things that are in it stay with me every day, all day long. And you know, I can't even get away from it in my sleep. In my sleep, I have dreams, Lord, have mercy. And I wonder, why did I have that dream? Because that has not entered my head. But it's there. This old flesh is sinful by nature. But the Bible tells us that they that are Christ have crucified. And people, this is a serious thing. This is not something just to be talked about, because I'm afraid that's what happens to us so many times is we just talk about things and we don't actually do them or apply them to our lives. And it's so important in our Christian walk with the Lord that we crucify or kill this old flesh on a daily basis. Because when you're at work and somebody just continuously bothers you, if you're dealing with the public, Brother Tim, you know what I'm talking about. And they just continuously on. You have to pray, say, Lord, give me patience with this person and help me not cut their head off. And that's just the way it is. I know it's something to laugh about, but it's the truth. This old flesh is sinful by nature, and God's Word tells us to crucify this flesh on a daily basis, to kill it, to keep it killed, to keep it down. Said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, that is pride, or looking for somebody to brag on us. And we all like to be bragged on. And I'm the kind of person, if you won't brag on me, I'd do it myself. Look at my wife roll her eyes. Said, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now let's go back to 2 Timothy. And let's read about the perilous times. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And we talk about that. People love themselves. They love themselves more than they do other people. And because they love themselves, they're self-centered and they're not willing to do for anyone else. Covetous. Covetousness is a bad thing. Now, we talked about this a little last time. Covetousness is always wanting more and more and more and more and more and more. And what are you wanting for when you're wanting more and more and more? You're wanting more and more material things, more and more things of the world. My neighbor has got a huge house. I want a huge house. They've got a new car. I want a new car. Just want. Now you say, well, Brother Lee, is it wrong to want? Well, you go back to what Brother Ken said so many times about you having things or things having you. Now the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, it said, let your conversation be without covetousness. Let it be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. Now I want you to listen to what the Scripture says there. It said, be content with such things as you have. But in truth and in sincerity, what do we have? We really don't have anything. Everything that we have is a blessing of the Lord. Your home, your way of getting around, your health. People may say, and I've told you this before, people may say, well, I've worked and earned that. I said, well, where'd the job come from? Where'd the health come from? You see, all these things are a blessing right here. Do you know there's a lot of people that are in a hospital somewhere, crippled up and can't move on their own, would love to swap places with you tonight to be able to walk on their own two feet into the house of God and sit down and listen to the Word of God. They would love to do that. Love to do it. Let your conversation be without covetousness. You never followed a hearse to the cemetery and see anybody bury a house beside them. The house stays behind. The money stays behind. The car stays behind. We don't have anything. Everything that we have is a blessing of God. It's a blessing of God. And let me read you some scripture on covetousness. Let's go to 2 Peter. It's not necessarily on covetousness, but I want to bring a point out for you to hear. 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, no one can take a scripture out of the Bible and make it mean what they want it to mean in truth. Every scripture in the Bible is there for a reason. It's there for a purpose. And here, the Bible, Peter writing in chapter 2, he was talking about false prophets. Because in verse 1 he said, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." And so here, Peter, in this scripture, in this chapter, he's dealing with false prophets. But I want you to listen to verse 19. He said, "While they promised them liberty," now they're speaking of the false prophets again, "while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption." Now hear what God's Word said. "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." Can you be overcome by debt? Now you think about that just for a minute. Coveting, always wanting more and more and more and more. The Bible says right here, he said, "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." You can put yourself in bondage in debt. Get yourself in so deep that you can't see no way out. And then all of a sudden, this thing that you was coveting, this thing that you was wanting so bad, so bad, so bad, now has become a burden to you. That's the reason the Bible says, "Be content with such things as you have, for what? For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now if you've got the Lord walking with you, and you've crucified this old flesh and killed this old flesh, and you're striving to serve the Lord, and you know the Lord is with you, does not mean that you're not going to have troubles, trials, tribulations, for Jesus said, "For in this world ye shall have tribulation." He did not say you might have it. He didn't say you could have it. He said you shall have tribulation. He said look for it, but he said be of good cheer. That's what he said. He said, "Be happy in them tribulations, for I have overcome the world." Saying the same thing here that he's saying in the scripture there when he said, "Let your conversation be without covetous. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." When you're getting close to the end of the road, and this old body is wearing out, and you know that the light is fixing to go out on this old body. For those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and sought His will in your life, all it is just one more step to home, brothers and sisters. Just one more step to home. So what is it in this old world that's worth man wanting to hang around for? All this big stuff that you get and stuff, you know what it is? Just something else to keep up. Listen to an old man. It's just something else to keep up and struggle and wrestle with. The Bible says covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Good Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on us right there. Times change. Jesus, God never changes. Always the same. You'll find Him today the same as He was yesterday, and He'll be that way tomorrow. Disobedient to parents. Now, we're talking to a class now that most of us in here remember Mama and Daddy. Mama and Daddy was Mama and Daddy. They weren't necessarily what you would call a friend, even though they were the best friends you ever had. Even though they were the best friends you ever had, but they was not there to be your friends. Doesn't mean you go out and have a good time tonight. That's what Mom and Dad did. They weren't there for that. Mom and Dad was there to correct you when you was wrong. Do you know that I was 99.9% wrong all the time? All the time. Had to be. couldn't have got as many whoopings. Now that's W-H-U, double P-I-N-G-S. I didn't say spankings. I didn't say little touch here, little touch there. And I did not say time out. Because when I was growing up, it was time up. Your time's up. It's over with. You are a grassy field and I am the lawnmower. And that's the way Mom and Daddy was. That's just the way it was. I run from my daddy one time, thought I could outrun him. I was about 10 years old. And my daddy was done up in, way up in his 40s. 10-year-old outrun a 40-year-old. You can count on it. Going across a fresh plowed field, I was traveling east. So the shadows were coming eastward. And I could see my daddy's shadow gaining on me. So I assumed right there and then that fear cannot outrun mad. I've always been a quick thinker. Always been a quick thinker. I've had to think all my life because I've been stupid. So the best thing to do was fall on the ground, grab your leg and hold it like you're bad hurt. I wish I had run to Virginia. Because Daddy had a hickory, Brother Tim. And about the time Brother Mike, he got to me, it sounded just like a helicopter landing. He had it wound up before he picked me up off the ground. And he picked me up off the ground. He strapped me from one end to the other. And you know, I found out right there and then, it's better to stand up. I don't care how big the opponent is. And take your beating if you're going to get one and get it over with. Disobedient to parents is not like it used to be. And there's too many interferences in it. The people I'm going to talk to you about that right there and stuff just a little bit. The good Lord put all that meat on your rump for a reason. You got more meat on your rump than anything else. They called me about my boy when he was growing up. He was in grammar school and they started talking to me about child abuse. I told him, I said, wait just a minute right now. I said, you hold it. I said, child abuse is a broken arm, a busted lip, a black eye, cigarette burns, broken bones. I said, you find a mark on my young'un. I said, then you tell me about child abuse. And I said, if you want to understand more about child abuse, I said, come over to my house right now. And I said, I'll abuse you. And that's what I meant. I wasn't joking when I said it. There's too many interferences nowadays and stuff. And children, they're not carried to church. Now we talked about being serious about things, people. Children are not carried to church. They're not taught at home. You know, I think a lot of time that the children are just left alone to fend for themselves because it's easier for that than to teach them and raise them. God help us. God help us to do what we've been taught to do in the Scriptures. Disobedient to parents. Look at this one right here. Unthankful. Have you ever seen a world so unthankful as what this one is today? Live in the greatest country on the world. We have been blessed beyond our wildest dreams. Beyond our wildest dreams. God has blessed us so much. And we look at what the Scripture says in the book of Revelation about the Laodicean church. We don't need nothing. And Jesus said you need to get some eyes saved and anoint your eyes where you can open them and see what kind of shape you're in. That you're naked and miserable. Pitiful. And it is time that this old world was preached that kind of stuff to let you know you're not thankful for what God has given you. We're not thankful like we ought to be. We're not thankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. Now we're looking without natural affection in this old world. And we get to looking, how in this world can a mama take a baby, a newborn baby, wrap it up in a cloth and throw it in a dumpster. How can you do that? How can you take a baby that's conceived and is alive and abort it? Abort it. Homosexuality without natural affection. Truce breakers. Now listen to that right there, truce breakers. When my daddy was coming up, all a poor man had like my daddy was his word. And I've heard Brother Jerry talk about it saying, you know, I would just tell the banker to bring me my money. And my handshake was good enough. And I'm going to tell you something. My daddy was going to make sure that you understood that his word was good enough. His word was good enough. All he had to say is what he had to say. And what he said he was going to live by and stand by, because that's all that Papa had. And that's the way so many people were in my daddy's age frame and stuff, as they were going through life. All they had was a word. But word don't mean nothing no more. Don't mean nothing. You can't depend on much more than half the people. You can't depend on them. They'll tell you one thing. Maybe they'll tell you they're going to do this. Maybe they owe a bill. Well, I'll be there to pay the bill such and such date. Well, don't get your heart set on it, because most are not going to do it. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That's no self-control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. And we read some scriptures just before we go in the book of Luke. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, don't be surprised if they hate you because they hated me before they hated you. And like I said a while ago, people are not going to get mad if you're a Muslim. They're not going to get mad if you're a Buddhist. But you tell somebody that I've been saved by the grace of God. I've been washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know who that is the Son of the one and the only living God who hung on an old Roman cross one time in history, one time, once and for all, and bled and died that all men might be saved, and they'll hate you and won't even know you. If you don't believe it, try it. I had a man tell me one morning in the store, I said, how are you this morning, sir? He said, what do you know good? I said, Jesus, the only thing I know good, then you don't know nothing. I said, I know all I need to get me home. Traitors, heady, high-minded. High-minded, can't tell them nothing. Can't tell them nothing. I think about what Daddy said one time about me. Me and Daddy was working on a job and stuff. A man come up, and old Daddy said, Grover, who's that you got helping? He said, that's my boy. He said, can you teach him anything? Grover said, you might ask him something, but you ain't going to tell him nothing. And now see, I was about 15 or 16 years old, and I had to stop and ask myself, because see, I still remember it. I hadn't forgot it. I had to ask myself, well, is Daddy telling the truth about that? And you know what the answer was? He sure is. Because how many times has your daddy told you one thing or another, and what do? Just go on like some kind of wild bull and ignore it. Ignorant. See, one thing that I have found out in 62 years, I don't know nothing. Not when it comes to wisdom. That's the reason we're talking and teaching on wisdom. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now that's one thing you say about this world today. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, because all we won't do is satisfy our lust. Satisfy our lust. Not to seek the Lord, not to do His will, but just to satisfy our lust. And the Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I'm going to tell you how I feel. I feel that man has a need for God. For God is his creator. I believe that every man has a need. I grew up in the Vietnam era. I had friends that come home from Vietnam. And they talk about people who said they were atheists. And said they'd be out there in the fields and said the shells would start dropping. And said you could hear those atheists crying out to Jesus and to God. Now why in the world you won't cry out to somebody you don't believe in? Why do you won't do that? And he said you could hear them boys screaming, Jesus and God, Jesus and God. The Bible says having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Listen, man wants religion to satisfy this whole flesh. Not soul, but flesh. It's all right to have religion because religion don't mean nothing. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? You got to be born again, son. What you got now ain't good enough. What you got now ain't good enough. You got to be born again. But man seeks after something from God. Lord, help us to be witnesses and to be servants and lights in a world that is in so much darkness. Brother Mike, I'm going to stop right there.